You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! Oh, it's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's match with Worcester City from Saturday afternoon.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly, we'll be hearing all about FC United's away trip south to take on Worcester City from Saturday afternoon. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's news by giving notice of the next members' meeting, which will be taking place this Saturday at 12 noon before the Harrogate home match in the main stand function room. The agenda will be a recap from the AGM, as well as an update on club finances, the SMRE and the Development Fund. And speaking of the Development Fund, the club have announced that for the period between the 2nd of January and the 10th of January, the Development Fund raised over £4,500 to bring the DF total this season to £55,915. A sterling effort, one and all, so a big thank you. And finally, supporter-owned Cork City welcomed FC United's Community and Education Manager, Andy Cheshire, to Cork for the first of our exchange visits. And the return visit is now set for the weekend of February the 4th and will coincide with FC United hosting another fellow supporter-owned club in the form of SV Austria Salzburg in a friendly match at Broadhurst Park. The exchange visits are a key part of the Clubs and Supporters for Better Governance in Football project, which is co-financed by the Erasmus programme, run in conjunction with the European Union and UEFA. In November, Ben spoke with Cork City Chairman Pat Lyons on Supporters Direct Weekly following their win in the FAI Cup final.
Hello, Pat. How's things?
Hi, Ben. Great. And yourself?
I'm all good, mate. I'm all good. So, a cracking season for Cork City. We had you on roughly about this time last year, and you finished second in the league again, but this year, silverware.
That's correct, yeah. We did finish second in the league again, but we were the only team putting it up to Dundalk, who've had a fabulous season. They're in Champions League, and they're now in the qualifying groups for the UEFA, or the Europa League, rather. So we put it up to them, and they again knocked us back, and they finished winners. I suppose the best team always wins the league, Ben, but we're happy to say that we beat them in the cup final, so we prevented them doing the double-double, and we got a piece of silverware.
But when we spoke to you last year, we were talking about just what a magical feeling it was, not to finish second in the league or be in the top flight, but to exist as a football club, full stop. It's just the last six seasons. It must be proud for everyone associated with the club.
Yeah, we're absolutely over the moon.
And Cork City, since 2010, flying the flag for supporter ownership. There's a video on YouTube talking about the financial troubles that affected the club in the late 2000s, and how a letter to the judge basically said a football club is more than just a football club. It's about the community, and it's about being part of the community, and that's what Cork City does now for the last six seasons or so.
Absolutely. We consider ourselves to be embedded in our community. We're very proud of that fact. We have massive associations with our charity partners, like hospitals and hospices and things like that. And we also have agreements with schools. We travel all over the county and beyond to meet kids. We do training sessions. We sponsor an academy in a second level school. we're really proud of the work we do in the community, Ben.
And it's not just that as well. I mean, we've had Supporters Direct Europe on, and we've spoken in the past about the Erasmus project and the sharing of good practices. And I know from my point of view, FC United, we work with Cork City and we work with other clubs around Europe just to show best practice when it comes to supporter ownership.
Absolutely. And it's great that it's not just Cork City, it's yourselves at FC United and various other clubs around Europe like Malmo and Schalke and all those clubs. And again, we're involved in a European project this year with you guys, which I think does great things to elevate the level of soccer or association football in the minds of the sporting public out there. It gets us away from the clowns who try to destroy our games and who prevent lots of families from coming to them. But I think the weight of opinion is with supporters on clubs now, family-run clubs, people like yourselves at FC United and ourselves at Cork City, who, as you said, produce booklets on good governance in football. And we're showing people that we can do it transparently and honestly and through volunteerism, and it still works, as well as the old model, which was private ownership.
Pat Lyons, chairman of Cork City, a big thank you for coming back on the show. A big congratulations to you, everyone associated with the club, all the supporters. It's cracking what's been going on the last month or so at the club. And all the best to the club over the close season, and good luck for preparations for next season.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you very much for having me on.
Ben there speaking on Supporters Direct Weekly with Cork City Chairman Pat Lyons back in November, following their FAI Cup win. And we will of course be hearing more from Cork City as well as Austria Salzburg in the coming weeks. To the first team now, and on Saturday afternoon, FC United travelled south to take on Worcester City in the league. It's now time to head over to the FC Live team to find out how Carl Margeson's side got on.
Hello dear listener, and welcome to the Victoria Ground here in Bromsgrove, Worcestershire. You join us here for this vitally important National League North match between Worcester City and FC United of Manchester. I'm Ben, and this is FC Live, brought to you by constructivecoding.com and the Armchair Army. And joining me here this afternoon, we've got Mr. James Quinn and Swamper.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Team news. Just to let everyone know, there's a couple of suspensions today. Ashworth is out, obviously, after that sending off against Altrincham, where he's a very naughty boy. And speaking of naughty boys, Mr. Henry Winter has been collecting bookings like nobody's business, gentlemen.
Henry Winter, what, the journalist?
Yeah. Indeed, Harry Winter, won't use his Sunday name, which is Henry, which is a completely different name. But he's 10 bookings, and unfortunately he's out for this afternoon. We're not even sure, perhaps it might be a two-game suspension, but certainly today he is not playing, unfortunately. So I suppose, Ben, do we give the team out now? Are we going to go into it? I mean, are set it all up?
Give me a team sheet. Oh. You took my notes off me, Sig. I thought I'd be helpful.
Oh,
We've got a bit of a young midfield, to say the least. We've got Tom Brown and Kieran Glynn and Nathan Lowe in midfield this afternoon because Sheridan's on the substitutes bench. We've got Sam Baird starting at centre-back as well, obviously, because of the lack of Ashworth. So it's quite a young side.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, you know, 23 years of age is nowadays considered to be quite old as a footballer. But a young midfielder, a little bit of quality in there with Nathan Lowe. We saw the quality of him last week when he came on, and some absolutely superb passing, and holds the ball well. And, you know, he's going to be very influential in the middle of the park this afternoon, as Tom Brown is going to have to be very disciplined and just sort of like marshal and work that midfield, because, as I say, quite a young one, but again, with a young team, James, you're looking at excitement and looking at perhaps doing something out of the ordinary.
Yeah, and also Paul, our statistician, who's alongside as well, was saying before the game that this is the sort of game where you want to play young players. You know, it's a game where against a side in a similar position to FC but struggling themselves, and it's an away game, so it's a good test, but at the same time it should be manageable, and it's good to see what these young players are capable of.
Well, that's certainly the case. I mean, last week, Bradford Park Avenue with the visitors here, and it took until the 97th minute for them to break the defence of Worcester, and you know, they were very disappointed with that. The game apparently was very, very poor. The pitch was actually dreadful last week, and didn't really help to a conducive game. And however, they'll be looking at this game here this afternoon against FC United to try and get themselves a little bit further away from the likes of Bradford Park Avenue, who are on a decent run. They've also got a game on Monday night at Curzon, so again, they'll be looking to, you know, they've only got four players on the bench. They are down to the, as we've heard from the BBC, Worcestershire and Hereford, down to the bare bones.
He's clearly playing mind games with us.
Clearly down to the bare bones. No Lee Hughes in the team, he's suspended, and another other number of players suspended and injured for Worcester. But it's an opportunity for FC United to go out on a pitch which it seems wider than it does long. It's a compact pitch. I think one kick by the goalkeeper, the other goalkeeper is going to be actually looking at actually collecting it in his own penalty area. So again, it is a small pitch but wide, so the width of and the quality of FC United down the wings hopefully will be very influential.
And not just that, if you actually go down pitch side, it's very reminiscent of Radcliffe Borough's ground in that there's several slopes all going in various directions.
Yes, and Mosley, and indeed Staley Bridge and a few other grounds that have slopes on them. But again, look, you know, the pitch itself is a little bit heavy.
I love it.
It's a cracking little ground. It's the home of Bromsgrove Sporting FC. They didn't start their life off as Sporting. They were an Albion originally.
I think they were Rovers, I think.
Rovers. They're here now ground sharing Worcester. We know the trials and tribulations of the club at this moment in time. There is a meeting next week to discuss where Worcester may at some stage end up. But again, a team in the wilderness, really, as FC United were the Wanderers for a number of years as well. They find themselves here at this moment in time again at Bromsgrove Sporting FC, and very nice host as well they are. To our left hand side, the village church, we're in this stand called, Ben, can you remember?
The pet shop stand. No, it wasn't pet shop, was it? It was something pet though.
Let's call it pet shop stand.
Still relatively early days yet, 33 minutes gone in this game. And a free kick there on the halfway line for Worcester. Ironic cheers from some of the Worcester faithful nearby.
Well, a team that's still getting an average game between 500 and 600, which is good to see, even though they have to travel quite considerable distances to get to this ground.
Yes, now it's a free kick. That's floated rather temptingly for Basso to catch. Waste there from Worcester. Thompson does well to win it, but it falls to a Worcester player, and it's cleared. And now Brown has it for FC United. Nice ball there to Glynn. On the turn is Glynn. 20 yards out to Gilchrist. On the turn himself. Still got the ball. Edge of the box. Gilchrist. Well blocked, though. Desperately trying to clear this at about the fourth attempt there. Worcester. It comes back to Nathan Lowe, but he loses possession. And they can break here. It's 3-on-3. It's a good first-time ball. As Murphy plays the ball in nicely for Craig there, rather muffs it there, but it comes here for Chicane Steele. An excellent keeping from Basso. Danger still not clear though. Chicane Steele by the byline, and goes past Chandler Well. Low cross in, and Nathan Lowe, well positioned there, plays it now to Kieran Glynn, and the game really lives up now as FC had a break, but Thompson had just gone too early. But goodness me, Basso, very decisive piece of goalkeeping there to come straight out to defy Chicane Steele. Still 0-0, 37 minutes played here. Worcester City with a free kick. Nice delivery there. FC win it well. Bright, can he break here? No, he can't. And Gallagher cuts it out right on the recovery, but square ball inside for Jordan Keane, who chips it forward invitingly. Felt he was being shoved a bit there from Dale Tong, but nothing doing, says the referee, and Tong will bring this out right-hand side. Thompson, Worcester man, so close to him there. Such good work, such good pressing. Now Craig, as they try and get a goal there. And it's Chicane Steele, he hits the post. And this could be Junior English there. Excellent defending from Chandler. Last ditch work there. But FC United, and you have to hand it for Worcester. They press so hard, win the ball. Don't give FC a second. Craig, that ball comes in again. On the turner, Junior English left foot. Blocked again by Scott Kay. Bobbling around there. Well, Basso punches when surely he could have caught. Ball back into the area now. Craig nods it down. Now it's Gallagher. Outside the area, plays it forward. On the turn is Junior English. Ball comes once again, the second ball, won by Worcester. Piling on the pressure here, the home side. And now it's Gallagher. Gallagher brings it inside there. Nice work. Gallagher slides it out now. Chicane Steele. Steele chips it in. Inviting ball. Now it's still not clear. Gallagher will go for it. And it was Chandler got in the way, and it came finally off Gallagher. And FC can breathe a most monumental sigh of relief. Swampy. Well,
it all started with a great challenge on the halfway line. A player wanted it more than an FC shirt. And then we've had 2 minutes of just sheer pressure and pressure and pressure. So impressed with Chiquis Steele at this moment in time. Every time he gets the ball, the midfield want it more, but Steele, what he's done really well, when he's got the ball into good positions, he's put the ball into an area really well. He's used the ball well. The shot came in on the underside of the post. It comes back out. They feel very aggrieved. You know, 39 minutes on the clock. It's 0-0. I suppose we're thinking, how's it still 0-0? Because really, Worcester should be at least one or two up here.
But I mean, credit to FC, some really good last-ditch goalkeeping and defending, which has kept the clean sheet so far. But FC, it all begins really in the middle of the park, which Worcester dominate. And maybe Worcester in a bit more peril than FC, just more at it today so far than FC, as Basso clears. And easily dealt with there by Hutchinson and Tom Brown. Can FC maybe find a sucker punch at the end of this first half? Kieran Glynn fouled surely, but turns well for Gilchrist. But Gilchrist could score here. Oh, he hits the inside of the upright. It was a fine through ball, and it was a decent effort from Gilchrist, literally hitting the inside of the upright and going across the face of the goal.
Terrific link-up play yet again from the two youngsters, and Gilchrist doing what he does best on the shoulder of the player, getting around him. He shot. Well, was very, very unlucky, but again, good link-up play from the two youngsters there from FC.
Nathan Lowe. That'll give FC something called good ball from Lowe. Wright takes it well into the box. Left-hand side, slides it across. Who's it going to come to? Kieran Glynn, that can't quite get control of it. And Worcester will bring it away, but just a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel there from FC United.
It's half-time here at the Victoria Ground here in Bromsgrove. It's Worcester City 0, FC United Manchester 0. We're joined by Stato Paul now. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
So, Paul, 0-0. Quite remarkably 0-0, though, because, well, both teams have hit the post. But for my money, Worcester have just been ever so slightly on top in this one.
Yeah, I think they've shown more will to win in the middle of the park. They've won more balls that were there to be taken. We've not really got going in this match. We've stuttered. We've given the ball away far too frequently, far too easily. And it's something that we have to look at in the second half. Otherwise, we're going to... You get the feeling it's the kind of game where we may concede in the second half and then we might rally, but it might be too late and the points might disappear.
Now, coming into this game, for those people who missed the start of FC Live, we're missing Ashworth, obviously, for that suspension, for that red card against Altrincham. But we're missing Winter as well in midfield for collecting too many bookings. And the midfield, it feels like we're missing Winter this afternoon, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a bit like deja vu, this. I think every week we kind of say the same things in some ways. In that, you know, we started the season with Kay, Winter and Sheridan in the midfield. And we've gone into this match without any of them in the midfield. And I think it shows, doesn't it?
I mean, it's a very young, let's say young, midfield. We've got Nathan Lowe, Kieran Glynn and Tom Brown. And to be honest with you, it feels like Kennedy Diggy in midfield for Worcester is bossing all three of them really at times.
Yeah, I think what we're lacking in those three is a leader. We need somebody to control the midfield and kind of, you know, call the shots and pull the strings kind of thing. And with three young players, it's very difficult for one of them to step up and say, I'm the boss. I'm going to tell you to mark him and pick him up and move players around. And I think that's what the kind of thing that Harry Winter does.
There's times where Lowe looks like he should be doing that, but he's very laid back, isn't it? And
yeah,
Glynn is obviously very laid back, and Tom Brown's just running around all over the place, to be honest, trying to tackle people and foul people.
He's a bit of a whippet, isn't he?
A bit of a terrier.
Yeah.
And
but there's no real authority that you need in the middle of the pitch, and that's where the likes of Harry Winter come into their own, because it's not only a physical presence, it's a vocal presence as well, isn't it? You know, he works players around him. And unfortunately, he's absent today, and we haven't got somebody to step up. And that's Worcester have been able to capitalise on the loose balls and dictate a bit more than we have. And that's shown in the goal attempts.
And the other thing to say as well, they're making use of the width of the pitch. And it's not the longest of pitches, but width-wise, it looks like it is, because of the way their wingers are building attacks. They seem to be crossing the ball in freely, whereas we're not really doing that. Everything's coming through the middle for us.
But our diagonal passing out wide is not accurate enough.
No.
It's giving the fullbacks an outlet back to the keeper, or it's going out of play. Jerome Wright has chased some lost causes, but I mean, how many times has a ball out to Jerome on the left hand side been accurate enough for him to actually chase and pick up? Very, very rare. Whereas they built up a bit more cleverly and managed to get players out wide in possession to take our full-backs on. We've not really been in that position. I mean, the only glimmer of hope we had,
the through ball, a nice through ball,
was a through ball that Gilchrist managed to control and hit the inside of the post with. But to be fair to Worcester, they've had three or four chances around our box. Basso has made a really good save in that half, and it's kept it goalless.
That save he did there, we'll talk about Basso now, that save he did there where the ball broke to Steele just on the right-hand side of the six-yard box, he came out, it was Schmeichel S, wasn't it? It was,
yeah, he
it
spread
was,
himself.
It was a cracking save.
Yeah.
Then he does the most... We all know about Basso's kicking. I think this is his third game now, or fourth game. His kicking is obviously needs to be worked upon.
At 41, he's probably not going to work on it that much.
Maybe you're right there, Paul, ageist. But it's there are times where it is a bit calamitous. And
I think what you've got is a continental keeper. I mean, what showed was that the punch he made under no pressure, where he could have caught it, and that's very much the foreign keeper style, isn't it? And you know, he's a Brazilian.
The idea is that you can start a counter attack from that punch. That's the idea.
But
isn't
how
it?
Often is a jittery punch kind of presenting the forwards with another opportunity to pressurise you, which is, you know, pretty often the case. But that's you're going to get a mixed bag with him. You know, you're not going to get the perfect article, are you?
Despite what I said about his kicking, I like him.
I think he's a bit of a character. He brings something different. But having said that, we believe Carnell is fit again, isn't he?
Yes.
So it may well be that Carnell will be back between the posts fairly shortly. But we've only scored once in three tries against this lot, so maybe we shouldn't be surprised.
What do we need to do? Because our midfield is
I want Sheridan out there in the middle, putting some quality passes forward.
Do you share Swampy's... I mean, this... As a commentary team, it's difficult because, you know, we all convince each other.
We all have our own opinions.
Well, we do, but because we're in a bubble up here, we kind of convince one another. I think it's a psychology thing.
Maybe, yeah.
We all convinced ourselves last week that Matty Wolfenden was having a blinding game, and a lot of people around us who were Fylde fans and directors also were believing that he had a cracking game. It is surprising that despite how young we are in midfield, we haven't decided to put a bit of experience somewhere near them.
Yeah, I mean, if you bear in mind how we played at Fylde, it's like chalk and cheese, isn't it? We passed the ball better at Fylde. Okay, the pitch might have been a bit better condition. Maybe, you know, you raise your game again against the league leaders and you struggle to do it against a team that's languishing in 17th. But, you know, we did so many good things last week, apart from supply the finishing touches to good moves. And today we've just not put anything together, really. It's been a...
Here goes the problem, really. We've always said it here. No problem at all playing Fylde, Darlington, Kidderminster.
Put a big name and a big challenge. And it's like we just said, we went to Torquay against the National League side in the trophy.
Nearly beat them.
And we knew that we were not going to lie down and die. We only went down to a goal in the last 10 minutes. And that was no surprise to us, was it? Because it was only fitness at the end, probably, that saw us off. But, you know, the likes of Worcester away, you know, that's the question mark, isn't it?
Well, last week...
It's motivation or...
Last week, Bradford Park Avenue won here 1-0, but they did score in the 94th minute, I think it was, or something, the winner.
Yeah.
But it is possible to score a goal past Worcester. And
well, they've not won a game for six matches. I mean, the last game they won was at Curzon in the trophy, I think.
And I've written it down here. They've got five injuries and two suspensions from their normal lineup.
Yeah. Now, we've got two suspensions, but we haven't got that many injuries, to be fair. You know, how many players are we really lacking injury-wise at the moment? I mean, Carnell's allegedly fit. Our manager's got pretty much a full hand to pick from, apart from the two suspended.
Just to mention what his hand is, on the substitutes bench, we've got Tom Greaves, Jake Williams, Matty Wolfenden, Sam Sheridan and Arneson. I think you're right. I would like to see Sheridan come on as quickly as possible.
I think change has to happen and not at the 70-minute mark. I'd like to see a bit of dynamism. Sort of, you know, Jake Williams bombing up and down the right side, for instance. Sheridan in the middle spraying the passes around accurately rather than just belting it forward, which seemed to be the modus operandi this afternoon.
The teams are now back out for the second half. Closing thoughts, Paul, just before you go?
Yeah, we've got to improve at least 50% to get anything out of this, because I have a suspicion Worcester will nick a goal, and the quicker we get in first, the better.
Well, thank you, Stato, Paul, as always.
Seconds away from Swampy time, the Quinn goal drought. set to continue. Oh, it's a very, very balanced contest at the moment. Thrown for Worcester far side, down the line it goes. Nodded forward. Worcester win it well. It's chipped forward again on the turn. And Kay will play it forward there for Thompson, but possession will be collected by Weir. And then the clearance by Jordan Keane. Kay with a rather awkward ball to deal with. And Owen Baird there with the ball bobbling all over the place. And FC getting themselves. Now then, this will be a
the referee's
free kick on the edge of the area.
But he's looking, he's gone for the penalty. He was waiting for his assistant referee, but the assistant referee went to the corner flag. And, well, he as soon as you go to the corner flag, that means it's a penalty. And it was very close, but the referee waits to see his assistant linesman, see what he said.
He seems to be going for a further discussion, actually. Somebody's
As soon as the assistant goes to where he is, goes to that corner flag to suggest I'm ready for the penalty to be taken. It was never in doubt. But Mr. Quinn, you may well be getting a goal here. Do you want it? Because
I think the clock, we're up to 71 minutes, and I think Swampy.
Thank you.
It is yours, all yours.
Well, it's going to be Stephen Craig. Is it the number 9? It is indeed. He's been offside, but he can't be offside from this anyway. But he's going to step up and he's going to hit it right footed. What can he do? Steps up, Craig. Great save from FC United's goalkeeper. He got down to his right hand side like a whippet, and it remains 0-0. Well, the goal drought would have continued for the Quinn.
Hello.
But it's a let off from FC United, because really you've got to, when you have so few chances in the second half, you've got to put them away. And FC United now, is that the lift that they need? He got down well, the goalkeeper. He hit it with a bit of pace. But FC United, rode the luck a little bit there.
And that's how it finished. Worcester City 0, FC United 0. Here are the FC Live team with their closing thoughts from Saturday's game.
That is the final whistle. And it finishes 0-0. A game of, little incident really in front of the FC, or I should say the Worcester goal, but plenty of opportunity for the Worcester team to perhaps sneak this victory. But it finishes one apiece. Basso with a talking point and the save from a penalty.
0-0.
Sorry?
You said one apiece.
Did I say one apiece?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Have another run-up.
0-0, everybody. Goodbye. How's that? An interesting game. And a game that I think I'm not sure what Carl will take out of it, and I'm not sure what Worcester will take out of it, because I think both teams really needed a result today, James.
They did, and I think probably Worcester more than FC, but FC would be looking to beat a team that's struggling, and they're in poor form at the moment. Worcester without a win in six. They look the brighter team to begin with, but couldn't really capitalise on that. And FC, just lack of quality in midfield. Ball sometimes in promising positions, given away. And look at the possession, it's about 50-50. And resilience at the back. And great save from Basso. So things to take out of it. But
resilience.
Yeah, resilience, in fact.
It was a game really that FC would on paper would have looked to try and secure 3 points, as you rightly say. A team that have been struggling, a team that were beaten last week by Bradford Park Avenue, and in all fairness, I think from minute one till minute 90, FC United really didn't do themselves justice. They never tested the goalkeeper at any stage. The post came to the rescue of Worcester on one occasion after Gilchrist, some good link-up play with FC United's Kieran Glynn. And apart from that, really, you know, you go away from home and you don't make a goalkeeper work at all, you're going to be disappointed in that respect. Some good football, some good individual performances from a number of FC United players. Sam Baird worked tirelessly hard at the back with Kay, and Sam Baird gets our man of the match. He really, really worked hard and was very impressed with the young lad. He was resolute in everything he did. He won the ball in the air when needs be. His reading of the game was good. His challenging was fair and was honest, and he didn't shirk out of any of his responsibilities this afternoon. And I think Carr can be very pleased with him. Glimpses of Kieran Glynn this afternoon, and also A good performance on the left-hand side once again from Chandler. But in the midfield, it was where the game was. Even before the game, we didn't question, but we looked at the that midfield and thought to ourselves, James, well, is that going to be strong enough to compete here at Worcester this afternoon? And in reality, if the truth be known, it wasn't, was it?
No, it wasn't. Well, the potential's there in those players. It just needed a more experienced hand at the tiller, just to kind of in a way to manage the midfield and police those young lads. And Glynn's a man of great skill, low potential, but he just you know, he may be coming back to fitness, but just got caught in possession too many times and didn't distribute well. FC remained 7 points clear of Worcester and 10 points clear of the drop zone, so fairly safe. But of course, you know, Staley, Bridge and Altrincham are pretty much gone. Bradford, the only team with maybe prospects of staying up in the bottom three, but FC looking fairly safe, but an opportunity missed really on paper.
It is quite remarkable once again that we've had, according to the stats, 53% possession there, and it's not really achieved much. I mean, we did. There was a shot that went blazing over, which nearly hit a pensioner on Bromsgrove High Street. That ball is still stuck in the tree over there. But it is a bit disappointing we've not tested the goalkeeper.
Well, we hit the post in the early first half. Yes. I mean, I'll be honest with you, and you know, it's all about opinions. But I don't understand how Matty Wolford in any way, shape, or form take part in this afternoon. Last week, for the 55 minutes he was playing, he was absolutely outstanding. Arneson hasn't had a huge amount of football. Matty Wolfenden is, we know, a goal scorer. Why not bring on Wolfenden and indeed Greaves, opposed to Arneson? Arneson really, I think, touched the ball twice, and in fairness, there wasn't a huge amount that Tom Greaves did either with in the game, because again, when you've got players of that ilk, they need service. And in the second half, Jerome Wright, I don't think, put a ball into the penalty area. First half, he had some good opportunities down this left-hand side and was doing quite well. Second half, he wasn't involved in the game. And as I say, I think you know, there's some very big positives out of the game from certain individuals. But it's a team game, and what you want to do is see the team collectively working and hopefully coming away with what we consider to be 3 points that we haven't got a right to come and take, but. The quality from FC United should have been on show a little bit more there this afternoon, and also really the 3 points should have been on paper in the bag, but again, it takes a goalkeeper to save a penalty for us to keep us from going away from Worcester with 0 points.
Would be interesting to see, wouldn't it, Thompson playing more central, playing more off the shoulder of a striker like Gilchrist or Greaves, maybe Wolford and try him on the right hand side.
I mean, it's a bit late in the season to start tinkering with formation.
Well, except exactly as FC kind of, you know, crawl to some sort of mid-table safety,
yes.
Probably is the time to start looking around and thinking about, you know, different combinations, you know.
Well, the thing to bear in mind is we're looking at that game now, and the thing is you can change a combination during a game. Yeah. You don't have to sort of, like, you know, change the way you play at the very beginning.
Well, he really went 4-4-2, didn't he?
Well, yes, to a degree. The thing is, though, I mean, for me, you've got the likes of Kieran Glynn. Now, I think you've got Thompson on the pitch and Kieran Glynn. I think you can swap those two in and around the game. You can say, look, Kieran, get out on that byline and actually jink past the defenders and kick the ball in, and Thompson come inside for the 20 minutes and swap and change. Because the one thing we can't do now is we can't change wingers. We used to change wingers. One go left, one go right, and vice versa during the game. Now we can't do that. And Thompson is... Well, is he wasted up?
He's wasted, but the other thing to say as well, I mean, we took Glynn off, kept Lowe on. I'm not sure Glynn couldn't have done what Lowe was doing. I know Lowe's quite a big lad.
Pass it to the other team, you mean?
Well, maybe. Your thoughts, James. You're going back on the team bus. You can answer.
I'll get blamed for that. You do realise everything you say. Regardless of what you ever say, I get the blame for.
And Glynn has already showed that he's quite capable of tracking back, doing tackles. But Glynn's also very good at putting in a clever through ball now and then. And I just think we lost that when that substitution was made.
It is interesting, the dichotomy that we have, because, you know, Kieran Glynn is ultimately a good talent. And for me, to keep him on the pitch, put him out wide, bring Thompson inside on occasion, swap and change it around and see what you can do.
Just before we go, it's the first time you've seen Sam Baird, I think, that...
Yeah, apart from I've seen him prior to that, but not in a first-team capacity.
We gave him man of the match. Deserved.
Well, he's 17 years of age. He's, you know, and he does everything simple. He reads a game well, and that's why he's not throwing himself here, there, and everywhere. And you know, the one thing that we didn't really have to deal with this afternoon was a big aerial presence, which again might put him off a little bit. But anyway, it's 30 seconds to go, so really we leave here at leave Bromsgrove, Sporting FC, FC United of Manchester versus Worcester FC, 0-0, but the penalty save and the save in the first half from Basso is the thing that really separates the two teams. FC United having one shot on target here in the cross, in the post. Apart from that, really, no great positives in the game, apart from some individual performances, and Carl can take that forward into the next game, and we'll be live and exclusive always. So from me, it's a very good afternoon. From James.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much to Sato Paul, and from Ben.
So, full time, and we're now joined by the welcome return of goalkeeping coach Nicky Culkin. Hello, Nick, how's things?
Very good, thank you.
A very, what's the word I'm looking for? Scrappy game of football, especially in the second half. Got a point out of it. What are your views?
Yeah, and in the end, I think a point was probably a fair result. Like you said, it was a scrappy game compared to last week. Different pitch, different surroundings, and everything like that. But in the end, yeah, we've come away, got a point. Scrapped hard for it, rolled our luck at times, didn't really create a lot, to be honest with you, but in the end, good battling point.
One of the things I picked up upon, and you'll know this, is how much that's like that pitch is like Radcliffe Borough's ground. It's all kinds of angles going on, isn't there? One thing we do need to pick up on is the penalty save from Basso, and just Basso's performances of late as well. He did a cracking one-on-one save towards the end of that first half, and he's kept us in the game, essentially.
Yeah, a couple of saves in the first half. The one, the block, and the one that he tipped onto the post. I didn't know until I asked him at half-time that he saved it. A great save. Yeah, he's come in covering for Dave, and he's done really well, to be honest with you. He's been probably faultless in the last four games that he's played, and today caps off a great performance with a penalty save as well, and been commanding his box well, and he's kicking well as well, so he'll get better with the more games that he plays. So he's come in, and like I said, he's done really well. His experience is great for the team, especially with the two young centre, well, young Sam there tonight. We've got Scott playing out of position there as well. So he's coming in using experience, helping them along through the games as well. So, yeah, he played really well today, my man of the match.
You'll know this as well, the experience of playing Football League football, coming into... What advantage does it give you?
It gives you a cooler head, situations, not getting flustered in different types of situations that occur during a game. It played over 250 league and cup games, so... it's great to have in the dressing room, great to have in the squad at the minute. So, yeah, fair play to him. And he's training. He trains really well. Really well. He's 42 years old, and puts me to shame, to be honest.
And Sam Baird as well. We gave him man of the match. He was superb today, I thought.
Brilliant. Absolutely solid. Didn't realise he loved to tackle as much as what I saw today, especially in the second half there. He comes in, and I think he's got old head on a young shoulder as well. I think he's got a bright future if he keeps his head down and works really hard. He's come in, done really well today.
Just in case I can't get hold of Marge, injuries from that game today, there was a couple, wasn't there?
Tom Brown came off with a cramp. They're all carrying a few, but we've got a week to recover, so there's nothing major, as far as I know. So I've got a bit of AstroTurf in my eye, though.
But anyway, Nick Culkin, thank you for joining us.
No problem.
Ben there speaking with FC United goalkeeping coach Nick Culkin. Also after the match, BBC Hereford and Worcester caught up with the Worcester City manager, Carl Healy.
Carl, a better display and result from last week, but you came close to winning today.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, I have to take my hat off to the boys. You know, we've got seven players not available to us today. Junior English is feeling his groin at the end there, but they worked to put a good shift in. They worked hard and, you know, just a little bit unfortunate not to win the game today, but it's a step in the right direction. And as I say, with the injury situation and suspensions we've got at the moment, you know, we've got to be relatively pleased with that.
Chicane Steele was lively, particularly in the first half, and he almost scored with a shot back against the post.
Yeah, it was really unlucky. You know, he had a good opportunity just before that, and the keeper came out and smothered it. And then, you know, he's unlucky with his strike there at the inside of the post. We finally got a penalty, but unfortunately we couldn't take the opportunity. But you know, you're always, once what's happened, like happened last Saturday, you're going into the last minutes of injury time, and you're always thinking, you know, don't let it happen again. So look, we've moved forward. We've got a good point, and as I say, I think we'll get a lot stronger when we get players back available to us.
Kennedy Diggy came in after signing from Kidderminster Harriers. He played well between the boxes today.
Yeah, he's only a young lad, but you know he's 6'2". He's a powerful boy. He's an athlete. You know, I spoke to Kidderminster yesterday, and they said, "Look, do you want to take him?" And it was a numbers game, but he's gone in there and done really, really well. You know, you can see he's got decent feet. He's a big, powerful boy. I'm really pleased with him. I thought he was one of our best players today.
You were only able to name four substitutes. That's a sort of demonstration about how few players you've got available. Is that situation likely to change ahead of Monday's game?
I think it may possibly get worse for Monday. I think Junior English will be struggling. But it is what it is. You know, we can't do anything about it. It feels like the world's against us at the moment, but you've just got to keep going. We can't do anything about the injuries. It's very unfortunate. And as I say, we've got probably seven players missing who have all been regular starters for us this season. So it's tough, but we deal with the players we have got, and they've put a great shift in today. They've got to go again in another couple of days, so that'll be a big test. But they're good characters, and I'm sure they'll give everything they've got.
And were there enough positives today to make you feel that win is coming soon?
Wins are hard to come by, and they're certainly hard to come by when you've got a third of your squad unavailable to you. But we didn't get beat today. We probably should have won the game with the chances we had, but we didn't. And it's as I say, if we keep performing like that, a win's only it's going to be around the corner, you know, and as we get some players back, and that certainly will help our cause.
Thanks very much. Good luck on Monday.
Thanks, Dan.
Worcester City manager Carl Healy there, and a big thank you to BBC Hereford and Worcester for that clip. To find out now where that draw leaves FC United in the league table, and for all the other results from the National League North on Saturday, it's now time to hand over to Marv Willis for another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thanks, Cockers, and big hello one and all, and welcome to this week's Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Well, thanks to that away point, FC United have moved a place up the table to 12th. 12 points in the playoffs and 10 points from the relegation places. Elsewhere, and the weather and FA Trophy meant there were only five other matches in the National League North on Saturday, but Darlington took full advantage, moving into fourth place after a 2-0 win against mid-table Gloucester City. Tamworth could have gone above Darlington, but had they won against their fellow playoff hopefuls, Halifax Town. But it was the Lambs to the slaughter as the Shaman won 6-2. Nice abattoir terminology there. Next week's opponents for FC, Harrogate Town, are also back in the mix after a 1-0 win in the Yorkshire Derby against third bottom Bradford Park Avenue. While Telford United moved above Worcester City after beating another side in the lower reaches, Curzon Ashton 3-1. And finally, bottom side Altrincham suffered an 18th defeat of the season at home to a Gainsborough Trinity outfit, who are sitting only just above the drop zone, 3-2 in that one. And that concludes another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Go in peace to love and serve your football club. Goodbye.
Thanks, Marv. The Reds return to Manchester for their next match as FC United host Harrogate Town this coming Saturday at Broadhurst Park. Kickoff will be at 3 p.m. But as always, if you cannot make this game, then have no fear. The FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And that's it from me for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday at 7:30 a.m, 12:30 and 7 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.